Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time now to take a look at a conversation we had, probably a good 2 months ago. We spoke to a variety of tech experts and, of course, speaking to a few of our friends within the retail space to help us contextualize the theme that's been taking place, where the South African Revenue Service mentioned that it would implement a 45% tariff on importing clothing products to South Africa. And this is typically seen as a way of addressing the high volumes of transactions we see from Temu as well as Shein. These are online retail platforms that have garnered a great amount of attention, not only in South Africa, but across the globe. And I do recall speaking to a tax expert from SARS who mentioned that this is not just a way of finding a new tax to implement. It's just a matter of enforcing it, as there were loopholes previously in terms of how this particular metric was used and implemented. But we're going to take a look now further at how SARS is actually providing us as South African citizens with some reprieve, and actually has delayed the implementation of the 45% tariff. Someone who knows more about this and will help us contextualize the impact it will have on our pockets if it is implemented is Donald McKay, founder and chief executive of XA Global Trade Advisors. Good to have you with us, Donald.
Good evening.
Such a pleasure to speak to you. And I know that this can be quite a complex story. And depending on which side of the fence you're on, if you're an avid retailer, a competitor to some of these retailers, or just a shopper who enjoys receiving goods from this, we all have a different take on it. But perhaps let's get a quick refresher of the legalities around this 45% tariff and how it's not new, but just perhaps has not been fully implemented in the past.
Yeah, so There is a 45% tariff on imported clothing, but a couple of years ago, SARS created a special exemption, not just on clothing, but on all items that are small parcels, particularly brought in by couriers through O.R. Tambo. And they said, because, of course, in those days, this kind of e-commerce was not happening, they said to make the process easier when these huge volumes of very small parcels come in, instead of having to figure out what's inside each and every parcel, determining what the duty rate is, etc. And because many of these were not items that were kind of moving in very large volumes, they said the courier can pay a flat charge of 20%. Just a flat charge of 20%, irrespective of what is inside the parcel. Now, of course, with the arrival of Temu and Shein particularly, but also the likes of Amazon, I would think, what is happening is you've now got these huge commercial-type volumes that are coming in, but because they're not going through the normal process of bringing in a shipping container, they still fall within the special exemption that SARS had created. So it's not really so much a loophole as a deliberate concession given by SARS to make the process of moving such large volumes of small parcels more efficient.
This is so refreshing, because it actually means that SARS was trying to make our lives easier, including these.
Well, yes. In a way, that's absolutely right. Now, there's been some unhappiness, as one can understand, from the brick-and-mortar retailers as well as the clothing producers who say, well, if we buy the same clothing and we bring it in a big shipping container, we have to pay 45%. The consumer here gets to pay a flat 20%, no VAT, no anything. And so they want that concession removed, and SARS is looking at that. But that's a difficult problem to solve, and I suspect that's if it ever gets solved, or if it does get solved, it's certainly going to take quite a long time, I would think.
It certainly is going to take quite a long time, but help us contextualize where we are now. So I guess because of the sheer volume of the number of clothing imports that we're receiving in South Africa, SARS has now decided that, hold on, perhaps we should implement this. But there is an understanding that this doesn't just impact the online retailers. It actually impacts us as consumers on our pockets.
Yes, yes, absolutely. So remember, when goods are imported, the person who is responsible to ultimately pay the import duties, VAT, etc., is the importer, not the exporter. So the effect, if the exemption was removed, the effect would be that the consumer would, instead of paying the flat 20%, would have that replaced with a 45% plus the additional 15% back. So it would go from 20% to 60%, which is an enormous difference. I think we can all agree.
Oh, yeah, substantial difference. And I guess because of this disgruntlement from various sectors of society, this is why SARS has decided to just hold off for the moment and I guess evaluate how best to implement this. What's taking place at the moment and how long has this implementation been delayed for?
Well, we don't know how long it's been delayed for. I think the more practical problem is to put out the media statement is relatively straightforward. But if you think of the many thousands and thousands of parcels coming in, how on earth do you begin to deal with that? And of course, we're not only bringing clothing in, we're bringing all sorts of things. So the ability to remove the concession would mean all of those couriers are going to have different kinds of systems to track all of this. There would be issues when someone receives their parcel and says, I can't afford the 60%. I want to send it back. How would we deal with that? What if someone buys the clothing? It turns out it doesn't fit, as we've all had that kind of experience at some point, and you want to send it back, but now you want that 60% back. Mm. How on earth are they going to do that? So I think the technicalities of this are really quite complex. So I don't want to attach a firm period, but I would think for a very long time, this is going to be on ice.
What are the other unforeseen consequences, especially on perhaps the courier companies?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the courier companies, of course, make their business by moving things very quickly. Anything that slows that process down is going to certainly be costly to them. The effect of that would probably be that the cost of couriering goods would also rise. So certainly the courier industry has got to be very concerned if you're suddenly faced with this additional complexity. And of course, because the individual consumer is not a savvy customs expert, that full burden will be placed, I would assume, on the courier, and that would be certainly a problem for their business, which I suspect will become our problem with higher prices.
My goodness. And I guess it's also important for us to understand that this particular rule, the de minimis rule, if I'm not mistaken, is what it's called, does not only apply to South Africa, but we've seen similar themes and trends unfolding across the globe, trying to ensure that countries get what's due to them in terms of their import duties, especially on the bulk level of clothing imports that take place from China.
Yeah, that's true. And different countries are trying to find different ways to deal with this. But I think we mustn't forget something, that we're not dealing with people who've committed a tax crime and are doing something particularly shady. They're utilizing a concession that was created to make courier companies run more efficiently. So we could say, well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to collect this larger duty on clothing. But there will be a knock-on effect to everything else that moves by courier as well. And we've also got to say, we live in a country where we've had huge amounts of poverty. People are struggling to buy a healthy meal, pay for their kids' education. As we rise the cost of clothing, it means they have less money for other things. And companies like Shein and Temu also, of course, provide a low-cost alternative. So whilst it is important that people pay their due, we should be careful not to make the poorest people pay the most amount of money in order to protect the system, which is kind of facing a new way of doing business. You know, I think we're all going to have to adjust to the Shein and Temu model, because I would think we're going to see it moving beyond clothing quite soon.
This is so interesting that you say this, because we have seen that many of these online retailers do offer a wide variety of products beyond just clothing. And from what I do see in some of the reports here, they mention that imports from online retailers just last year, between 2022 and 2023, had actually increased to at least 120 million rand. That's a significant, almost 600% increase over a two-year period. So as you described, the market is getting bigger. Perhaps it's becoming a lot more complex and even convoluted, given the wide array of products that we're able to import. Help us understand. I'm so intrigued, because this almost seems as though we have to be more innovative about our approach to import duties and our trade relations with key partners, and the limitations or restrictions or tiers at which we monitor this activity?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I mean, the default of any incumbent when they're faced with a threatening new competitor is to go to government to seek help to remove the competition. Yes, of course, we eventually see people making a shift to the new technology. And if you look at something like Uber, for example, we now have the traditional minibus taxis that have put together their own online app, which is trying to compete with Uber. There appears to be some bad behavior around that as well. But you might recall in the beginning, there was just this outrage. And then eventually people say, well, I'm going to have to adjust. And I think with customs duties, all of these things, we're going to have to adjust to the new way and the new technologies that have developed globally. There are losers, but of course, there are also very large winners. And many of those winners are every day-to-day citizen who has more cash in their pocket.
Clearly sounds like a shift that will have to take place in the market. On that note, Donald, you have years of experience in terms of global trade, partnerships, the rules and regulations that need to be followed. And I understand that whilst rules are necessary in order to make sure that proper governance and controls are in place, we do have to find innovative ways of still facilitating that trade and partnership and camaraderie. How do you see this, I guess, evolving? And are there certain markets that have gotten this right, especially where that trade and partnership involves end consumers like you and I?
Yeah, the honest answer is I don't think anyone has. I think when we're faced with any kind of disruptive technology, it's going to take a while for the market to find its new equilibrium. I think we'll have to look to the more developed markets who typically take the lead in these things. But I think we should be very careful to not define this, for example, as a Chinese phenomenon. Mm. The fact that it originated in China is almost incidental. The innovation here, much like Amazon innovated the retail space decades ago, is the real disruptor. The fact that it comes out of China, I think we must be careful to not be distracted by, because there's no reason other versions of this couldn't arise. So, you know, how do we deal with it? Well, I don't know, because we all struggle when something is brand new and very disruptive. But I think at some point, sane heads have to prevail. We have to sit down and say, how do we live with this rather than how do we stop it? Which I would suspect we're probably way past that point already.
Sure, it's making for rather intriguing times because, again, the world is really just opened up to a wealth of opportunity that we can explore and understanding how we do respond to it appropriately. Mr. McKay, such a pleasure for having time with you this evening.
My pleasure. Have a good evening.
Thank you. That's Donald McKay, founder and chief executive of XA Global Trade Advisors, helping us understand the dynamics of a rule that was is typically established in common law, de minimis non curat lex, commonly known as de minimis, but essentially a 45% tariff on imported clothing in South Africa. It has been put on hold until further notice and typically was going to be implemented to impact us as consumers, and not just us as consumers, but really given the sheer volume of clothing imports we see from specific platforms like Shein and Temu, but any other online retailer from outside of South Africa, the same rule would apply to make sure that the necessary tariffs would be paid to SARS. A lot of structure, controls, management, and of course changes that do need to take place, but also very frank and honest and open conversations to evaluate how it is that we are seeing this transition or evolution of trade that influences and impacts smaller packages and households, but of course the taxes that do.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.